You're in with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dolores Cahill Show on TNTRadio.live. And you can find me on custodian.com and profdoloriscahill.com. So in this second hour now, we're going to discuss with my guest today, Julie Desmalier, Dr. Alexandra Herrien-Caudet, and lawyer Diane Protutt, some of the solutions. And maybe, Julie, we'll just come to you first, if that's okay. What Yes. kind of solutions do you think that we should do, and how can we all help you?
With Melody, she managed to launch a similar pages, Instagram pages, with people from Switzerland, Ireland, Sweden, Belgium, Caledonia, Netherlands. So we are starting to opening new Instagram pages to raise the voices of all these women, so they can feel like they are not alone, and that what they feel in their bodies, in their instinct, it is right. They are not all alone to experience those. The issues with their menstrual cycles. So it's very important to keep and to encourage some kind of solidarity between all of us, all the countries, all together, to come all together. And so we feel like we are not left on the side, and that our testimonies are listened, and we leave some kind of traces on internet to so people can find those testimonies and maybe manage to click and to make the link, you know, and to listen to themselves and their instincts, you know, that something is wrong, is, you know, it's not normal what we are recently experiencing. What else could
Absolutely.
I say?
Because, you know, Julie, even when the injection in Ireland was happening in January 2021, I had pharmacists and care home workers saying that women as old as 94 years old were bleeding after the injection.
I know.
And some
I know. That's
grandparents,
awful.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
really
they came
awful.
To me and said that when the grandmothers were injected and when they were met their baby grandchildren, granddaughters, that the babies as young as 6 months started to have vaginal bleeding just when they were around the grandmother.
Yes, exactly. And I also, so I think, yeah, we already have do have some contacts in Australia to set up an Instagram page. We are, Melody has been contacted by a lot of people all around the world, you know, so because, thanks to this Instagram page, Facebook page, you know, we try to open many pages as we can, you know, even on Twitter, I mean, it's the numbers of followers is growing every day. It's crazy, and we can tell the difference between what people say on this kind of medias compared on what's been said on TV. It's crazy. It's like we are completely shadow banned, but on the other hand, we also feel like in the comments on these social medias, people are really starting to open their eyes, and that's great. If I can share a specific experience with my
Absolutely.
Own with my own doctor, you know, I went to visit him before the surgery, end of December, and because I known him for like more than 10 years, and I really trust him. He's a great doctor, but of course
yeah.
we can have different opinions, but I felt like I really wanted to find out what he was thinking about the surgery I wanted to get. And he said that was okay. And he told me, I don't believe there's a link with the vaccine, but that's okay. We can, we can share our opinions and respect each other, of course. And I recently went to see him a couple of weeks ago, and because I wanted him to give me my medical historical file, you know. And basically, he told me he changed his mind. I mean, in the secret of the room we were in, you know. He told me, I mean, it's crazy how many, the level of people with side effects is growing and growing. And I noticed, I'm witnessing for like the three last month that there's something wrong. And if you wanna, if I don't know what you are about to do in the future, if you're gonna take a legal procedure, a lawyer or anything, I would like to tell you that I am 100% on your side. Whatever you ask me, whatever you need from me,
absolutely,
I'll do it.
Judy, that's really important. That what we need to do is to have valuable evidence like yours, particularly very soon after it was happening. And Alexandra, that we all work together all around the world to provide the scientific basis and to have lawyers like Diana to hold those people accountable that are not stopping the injection.
Exactly. But the hardest job from my point of view is to convince all these ladies out there to testimony officially, you know. I mean, even though we might not trust this organism, we do need to do it anyway. It's very important to do it. And some of them, they are lost because it's paperwork. They don't know on what website where to go. They cannot find their batch number of the vaccine. It took me ages to manage to get my batch number of the vaccine. The jab I got, it's a fight to get this information. It's crazy, but still I managed to get those information. But some people they are too, I mean, they're desperate, so they feel like it's not worth it. But yes, it is. It's very important that we all come together and that we get all this information, that we testify officially, and that we talk and that we raise our voices all together. And that's why those Instagram page all around the world, the ones that we are about to open in the States or in Australia, in all these countries, it's a tool to all come together.
Absolutely, Julie. And I think that's part of what many of us in the World Doctors Alliance, Doctors for COVID Ethics, the World Freedom Alliance, and many, all of your organizations, there are many scientists and doctors that want to help you. And Alexandra, what do you think for the solutions that we should really focus on now?
So I think we should elaborate with on the testimony, Julie's testimony immediately, which is that a number of doctors who were very much in favor of this vaccine because they thought they were vaccines and they thought they had somewhat the same safety as before, not to say that the vaccination were not exempt of any issues in the past, because we realized that there were issues, but the number of issues were at a rate so much lower than the actual ratio is. So to elaborate on that, I think we need to empower the different medical doctors or, you know, any health actors in the field, whether in a center of vaccination or wherever, to have the exact knowledge that we knew from scratch that there were issues with menstrual cycles. Historically, as I said, I think that amongst the very first article in the press was the Israeli article from Haaretz, Haaretz, and Haaretz published on February 18, 2021, the article, "Some Vaccinated Israeli Women Report Irregular Menstrual Cycles, Bleeding." So we had it from scratch. And then later on, we had this report, if the people type 10% menstrual cycles Israel, they will find the articles that report the official number of the 10%. And we probably should put the link of this publication also together. We did a huge stress. Yeah, we did a huge stress on put on a huge stress on women. We should also take into account that there are issues with the testicles and the testes. Sorry, with testicular tissue remodeling. And that there is this nice publication, nice in the sense of it was well well done in the methodology, terrible in the sense of the finding, which is that you take the same men before vaccination and after vaccination, and you measure the parameter that takes into account different issues to assess the fertility of men, and it had dropped from 22%. This is also something that should be raised because it's highly critical. So the thing is that in those there were a recovery at the 32 three time points, and there was a recovery sign at the third sign point. So a little bit like women, for those women who do tend to recover their cycles after. So then now the issue is to know how damaged their our reproductive tissues, how bad is the injury to our reproductive tissues, and how to heal them. So we have to understand that, first of all, as you said, Dolores, it seems as though statistically the chances are that if you go on injecting people, and we discussed that with Diane as well, you'd get issues more, or you'd be more prone to get issues. So if you have had already one or two injection or three injection, please don't go to the next one, because if you haven't had any problem, fantastic. It's fantastic and it's great. And it's about the resilience of our body, which is that we are not each other the same. So perfect. But don't play with that game, because it's a bad game. You've heard about the level of suffering of Julie. She repeatedly said several times that she was to the level, although she has a child who needs her, she was to the level of committing suicide. How can we let a drug to push the person to be to the stage of committing suicide? We are not allowed to do that. So first of all is to understand that you have pre-puberty. So all these little girls, all this child that we are chasing after, to inject them, please, parents, be aware that the machinery of having their little oversight is just present already, whether they are babies, infants, toddlers, or younger girls. Pre-puberty, you have all the machine there. Therefore, whatever is the effect that we saw with women with menstrual cycles is not something that is not going to alter your little girl's physiology, because it's not possible. It's a question of availability of the spike protein. I know it's a hypothesis, but the reason why I'm so strong about it is because we have seen effects with Johnson & Johnson, with AstraZeneca and with mRNA injection. So because we saw it repeatedly with all these different kind of injection, that is really prone to advocate in the sense that it is what I have coined spikeopathy. And so the disease of spike, and a number of doctors and scientists colleagues are now using that terms. And I'm very happy that I contributed in English to an easy understanding of the spikeopathy. So once again, it's indeed an hypothesis, but it's really likely. So pre-puberty, then you have those youngers that are in the age of having children, and therefore the issue of healing them as much as we can, of alleviating the stress of this spike, if it is the spike, is intense. And the one possibility that I have coined is the dandelion. The dandelion has two effects that I am keen on. One is on dandelion, like herbal tea or maybe alcoholic extracts, or they have an impact on the menstrual cycles in women, in the sense of putting it more healing it more regularly. And the second effect on dandelion is about altering the interaction of the spike protein to some receptors such as ACE2. So for two reasons, it may be interesting to consider dandelion as a potential solution. But when I say potential solution, is then we need to work again with Julie and Melody, because they have those who are going to take maybe a little 15 days dandelion extracts. If they don't find an effect, positive effect, they should let them know, let us know. We need to interact like that as a ping pong and say, maybe it doesn't work. And why is it not working? Or maybe it works. And then, and if we have a little solution, it's great. The second thing about all these women who want to again have children, we want to alleviate the edema. It seems as though the inflammation, edema, meaning a little bit swollen, it can reach maybe your articulation, maybe your ankles or your articulation, but it can maybe be silent outside, but take place inside around organs. And typically maybe around your uterus or your vagina, because some people reported heavy bleeding, but they didn't know that it was not their uterus, which was in the problem. Their vagina was bleeding. So, wow. So we should coin precisely where the bleeding comes from and again, help alleviating edema, which is an inflammation. And it seems to me that it's this chronical thing that, you know, it's some kind of cyclic effect that those vaccinated women have. They have an issue, and sometimes it goes better, and then sometimes it comes back. So I'm not saying that this is the general case, but it seems as though there are a lot of testimonies that way. And those women who say, oh, you know, it's okay, I will go through assisted reproductive technology to get my children, should be warned that we have had a number of testimony, and this we discussed again, and Julie may be elaborating on that, on the fact that actually before they took the vaccination, the jab, they checked on their ovary, and the follicles and the oversights were present, and everything was in place to get into the assisted reproductive technology. And then they come back, and suddenly they are told, "Oh, I'm sorry, there are no more oversights to be taken." Yes, please, Dolores.
Yes, so I just want to say through 2020 and 2021, we had a weekly meeting with many of the key doctors in the world. It was private, so it was with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Tom Cowan, you know, Julie Mikovic, Dr. Kerry Madej, Christiana Nortoff. It was a weekly meeting. And what they were reporting privately within our weekly meeting, but also in all their interviews, was from the beginning of 2021, once men and women were injected, that they and were undergoing in vitro fertilization, that the number of fertilized eggs dropped dramatically, and the amount of fertile sperm and the amount of eggs that would go on to produce an embryo only if one of the mother or father or whatever was injected. So from very early on in 2021, it was aware that there was an issue. But Diane, if you want to come in.
Yeah, we were on the same call, Dolores, with this German testimony. Yeah, she was she really prompted our attention to a place that we didn't know, because she was specialized in assisted reproductive technology. So because of that, she had encountered a number of cases, and she was really scientific in the sense that she took note of those cases.
Exactly.
Very elegantly, yeah.
That's right. And Alex, you know, you were on many of those calls, and we also have to recognize the work of Dr. Rainer Fulmick as well, and Vivian in Germany, that gave many of us the opportunities to give our testimony. But I think for Diane as well, it's very important that a lot of this information was known in 2020 and 2021. And there was a huge issue in the law and liability for doctors that continue to inject, and for the regulators that didn't stop the clinical trials.
And on that point, just before addressing that point, I wanted to add, and I think Julie can correct me, but as I know her file, I wish to add that she had a blood test and she never had COVID. She never been COVID positive, but with another blood test, we know that her spike level is high and abnormal. So this is, maybe Julie can correct me, but this is what is the most impressive also after all this. After all this, she has a spike level which is not normal in a blood test still. And this is a real problem, because also we are talking about side effects. But one of the problems is also that we can all see that this vaccine is not working. But this is two parts of liability. But just before also entering on that, I wanted to add, Julie did it very well, but we maybe TNT Radio can put the link to the Instagram page, where is my period, because we have all the documentation translated in English. So people from all around the world can look at our job and look at the testimonies in English also. So I know not everybody speaks English, but most of all can do it. So we did that in order to have all people coming and look at our work and look at it and of course participate. As for the liability, as I said, with this initiative, our goal is to help women, but also to help everyone, of course. And our fight is to stop this madness of jab continuing. And just we said to stop, but mostly we are for freedom. I heard what Alexandra said. I'm, of course, I am with her when she said don't go. But if people want to go for the jab, of course, it's the freedom of everyone. Now that they are
absolutely
warned, people with a transparency and an information, they are responsible also for themselves. But we need to have a transparent information, and this is what we are giving. And we've never seen in the world that we force people to get the job, otherwise they lose their job. It doesn't happen. So this is something that should never happen again. So this is the first point of law, because we all have to say that we've never seen that before. If we look at the contract, if we look at the US, for example, they have the PrEP Act. The PrEP Act is the Senate who said that this pharmaceutical industry are not liable. It never happened that the Congress make a law to make these people not liable. And in Europe, we have contract. And in this contract that have been signed between the EU Commission and Pfizer and these other pharmaceutical branch, this contract says that they are not responsible, they are not liable. This is amazing. This never happened because we try to challenge that because there is two ways to challenge it. It's first of all, if we can demonstrate that there were a willful misconduct. This is the word that is in the contract, in the European Union contract with Pfizer. So the willful misconduct, we can prove it through the trials of this jab. We can see that they were tested on not many much people, and obviously not on the people who needed who needed it, because in the trial you don't have you don't have the elderly, for example. And we also see in the trial that for pregnant women, that for children, that for lots of things, it was not tested. So this is the willful misconduct part, and this is where doctors like Alexandra, as yourself, are really helping us, because if we can prove that while looking at the trial, we can make them liable again. The other way to make Pfizer and the other liable again is to prove, but it's already proven, that this vaccine is defective. In Europe, we say when the product doesn't work, that it has a defect, and with this defect, well, they are liable. And obviously, it doesn't spread the disease, it didn't stop the spreading of the disease, and it gives side effects. So what are we waiting to declare, that these products have defects, and they cannot do the job we assign them to do? So this should stop immediately, because it's a defect product. But what we need to think is now, the European Commission, for example, they did not have the power to make this purchase of vaccination. And now they are using the same mechanism, which is unlawful, because the people of Europe didn't vote for it. They are using the same mechanism of emergency to buy weapon for Ukraine, or and they are using also these to say to people, well, you will have to have less fuel, use less fuel. All these is the European Commission that is liable also, because they are acting. They are acting on that, and they don't have the power to do that. So this is a problem. They are the European Commission who is liable, and they are the pharmaceutical industry who is liable. And so, oh yes, Dolores, maybe you
would. Well, I just want to say it's absolutely fabulous to hear, you know, you, Diane, as a lawyer, talking about the liability. So the issues you're raising is that it is willful misconduct for them to carry on, even in the contract around supplying this medicinal product, if there are issues where they would have known that it is harmful. So I think that's really important. And that was why Alexandra and myself were coming out very early on, even a year before, in order to provide the information so that if they carried on, they would be liable. And that's why I was speaking up in the institutions of the European Union as well, because we actually have written correspondence that they would not allow me to debate them in order to prevent the supporting of these mRNA trials, that from the scientific research for decades, zero mRNA injection was ever used because of the adverse events and deaths in the animal studies and in the men and women who got the injection. But we're just going to go to a quick break now on TNTradio.live, and we'll come back in 2 minutes after the break.
You should hear what Rick Munn's talking about.
You know what? This whole business, I mean, I thought about you actually when I read this. I was immediately thinking of places that were 40 degrees or above, all right? And there's various places in the world that top that temperature regularly, and millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people live there, okay? And notice, by the way, we're told in the UK it could top 40 degrees, maybe one day this week. So it's not like we're going to be plunged into Arizona-esque temperatures for the next 3 to 6 months. We might, I say might have one day where the temperature tops 40. And let me say, it's probably in some remote weather station somewhere. It happens in one place for like 1 minute of the day.
Rick Munn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, Fasthead here. As a chef, you know what I hear a lot? Wow, that smells really good. Is it done yet? For certain foods, it's important they cook properly rather than how they look or smell. Those foods include hamburgers, sausages, chicken, and leftovers. The rule of thumb's pretty simple. Cook those foods to 75 degrees Celsius. And listen, I'm no Einstein, so I use a food thermometer, and I reckon you should too. That way, you'll know it's done without guessing, and no one will get sick.
A message from the Food Safety Information Council.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great, and I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on you. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom! Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings?
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
This is where you get your daily ration of high-velocity conversation. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Dolores Cahill Show on TNT Radio. And also we will have the information on custodian.com for people who want to follow it up. So just welcome back. And the website again is custodian.com, C-U-S-T-O-D-E-A-N.com. And we'll have the information and also on tntradio.live. But we'll just come to Alexandra after the break as well to just follow up, Alexandra.
Yes, thank you so much, Dolores. I think we are having a fantastic show, thanks to you. So you are really fantastic warrior for the health of the people. Thank you. What I wanted to ask Julie is about, you know, to go further about this idea of spikeopathy. Can she tell us a number so that people know, first of all, that they can be... They can have a blood test with the dosage of the spike circulating in their body. I should repeat and explain the fact that normally you are not supposed to have hang on a second, please.
That's okay, Diane, if you wanted to come in as well before we go back to Julie.
Yeah. So spike is not supposed to be produced in our body because it's a viral antigen that has not been inactivated, which is another reason why it is not a vaccination, because normally any vaccination would relieve a product of an antigen that would be less toxic, that would be changed. In this case, it is not. And therefore, that's why we say we coined that name of spikeopathy. Julie, can you tell us about this dosage that you have?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Julie.
Okay, sorry. So yes, in around February, March this year, I had the curiosity to find out if I ever been a COVID positive, because all the past tests I did were all negative. So I thought it was a nice information to find out if, despite what happened to me, if I was ever COVID positive. And I asked my doctor for a special paper to be able to find out if I ever been COVID positive. And actually, I never have been positive with COVID ever.
Right.
So I also had the curiosity to find out about my spike level, and I experienced a funny, not funny situation, sorry, but the nurse had to ask for the authorization of her head manager to be able to give me this result and this blood test. So the boss of the laboratory came and he wanted to find out why I wanted to get this information. So he gave me all the speech, you know, I can give you the information, but still you will have to be vaccinated and to do the next ones. And despite what the result will say, you really have to be vaccinated and do the other ones in the future. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, I understand. Yes, of course. But I want and I need this information. Please give it to me. And so I had the results, and I believe you tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe the normal spike level is something like 280 or something like that, and mine is actually 380. So it's pretty high, and I thought it would be interesting to add those blood test results in my file, you know, my medical file. And voila, so it's really important to dig and to investigate, because nobody except you will do it. So voila, as we say in French.
So that's very important, Julie. And I think it's also important for monitoring adverse events, but also, Diana, for liability for people who've been injected.
And again, to moderate or to put into context what you just said, Julie, there is not such thing as a normal level of spike. There is no such thing, because the reason being, a human being is not a producer of a regular producer of a viral protein, because normally the virus, our organism, fight them. So we are not regular producer. So this is something to understand very critically, because that means that they have changed our genomic integrity as to making us. So it's a little bit like they call it human enhancement. They have enhanced the humanity to produce a viral protein in an ongoing manner. And this is not something that is normal. So the reason why they say a normal value is just because they have had a number of vaccinated people in which they did the dosage of the spike protein, and therefore they put some kind of a value. But I believe that this value has very little history, because it is brand new, because since it has basically taken place since early 2021.
I want to add something, because on liability. But first, Julie said that his doctor said to her, "Well, even though everything happened to you, you will have to take the next jab." And the hostess from the Freedom Flyers that I am representing, one of them, as I said, despite that she lost her uterus, and they are still asking her to make the fourth jab. This is ridiculous. This is a problem. It's without shocking. Being a doctor. We cannot ask that to women. Again, this is what we need to stop. So this is the fight. But on liability, I wanted to add something, because right now, as I said, they are in numerous countries, they are saying that they will give alimony with cap, with a maximum amount to people, and will be paid by the state. For example, in the UK, in Australia, I've heard that. Also in Thailand, they are saying, for example, that each one of you will get, let's say, 100,000 euros, and there will be cap.
I think it's £120,000 in the UK. So but of course,
absolutely. But it's not to everyone. It's only to those who are recognized, and the maximum cap is not achieved for everyone.
This is what we will fight against. So if I may explain,
yes.
For example, I'm the lawyer of a little kid who lost his sight 5 days after vaccination. It was, even though money is not what will give his life back, but it's worth like 6 million. This is the money that this little kid should have. But if we are not making Pfizer pay, if we are putting in the idea into people that the state will pay, it means that we are all paying for the wrong we are suffering. We are paying with our taxes. This is ridiculous. And in France,
it's wrong.
You know, that the money for that the state is saying that it will give to people. First of all, the parliament didn't give any money, enough money at least, to this organism that is called ONIAM in France. This is a state organism. We will give the money, but right now there is no money. People have to know that, because when they ask for right now, when the state said send us our testimony and file, and we will give you something. There is no money in, there is no cash. So, and this is not normal that we have to pay, because as I said, in the contract, they can be liable if there is this willful misconduct that you have been proved, or if the product is with a defect. So we need to make them pay. This is what is, in my opinion, the most, and this is what we can do all together. And I think we should not say to people, well, the state will pay for you. This is not true, and we should not accept that this money, which is not enough to cover, because it's not in I know money is not the fight, because it will not give back life, but as the American way of thinking, which is important, they have punitive damages, and so we need to punish them. This idea of punitive damages is not in European law, but it should be, in my opinion, it should be something to consider, because we have to put to put this, to make this company stop. And the only way to make this company stop is to give, to make them pay a lot with punitive damages. So in my opinion, we really have to fight in order not to let the state pay, because it's amazing that we are paying for the wrong we suffer. This is ridiculous, and this is against all the law, and this is against also the moral law. And even though, so this is something we can accomplish, and I encourage people with their own lawyers, because we have this fight collectively to stop the job, and I think each victim with its own lawyer should seek to have damages from Pfizer, from Moderna, because it is possible to do so. This is what I wanted to explain about liability. It's not for the state to pay, it's for this company to pay. And also, if I may add, I think these the people from the European Union are who are the leaders, the leader of the European Union should be liable also, and we are working toward that. They should be liable also to have, because they have signed a normal contract with who gives a profit and no liability to these people. And I make a last example. I hope make you smile, to make people understand. In France, we have a famous case. It took 10 years to go to the Supreme Court. It's about Chronopost. Chronopost, it's when you want to send a letter and you need it to be there on the next morning to someone. This is why you pay very expensive. And Chronopost in the years 1990, it's like 30 years ago, they put a clause in their contract saying, if the mail is not in time, we are not liable. And the Supreme Court say, well, you cannot do that, because what you make people pay is for you to be on time. And so can you imagine that, hey, we have a special clause, but I make Alexander laugh, but there is a clause in this contract with Pfizer, you are not liable if your vaccine does not work. This cannot happen. Can you imagine a contract where you are not liable? This doesn't exist. And the Supreme French Court should say it, and we should go on forcing on that point, because no one has ever drafted such a contract. And I think the European Union is liable also to have admit that. And well, this is my legal opinion.
I think it's really valuable, Diane, that you as a world-leading lawyer would talk about liability, because I've been studying the law for decades. And, you know, in my case in Ireland, they have 7 summonses from the police, where they are saying and charging me with 7 court cases that traveling and speaking is a criminal offense because of COVID-19. But what I've been saying all along is that the police and the courts are liable for misrepresenting the law, because what they're doing is criminalizing or trying to criminalize scientists and doctors who are saying there are issues with these medical treatments and clinical trials, but they're not investigating the regulators and the politicians and the doctors in their countries that are injecting poisonous substances that are causing harm, pain, and suffering to thousands of women. So that the liability for not doing this rests on the individuals, on the police and on the doctors and the regulators, because they have the power to just come out and say there are so much adverse events and death on these trials that we will stop them. So if they don't stop them under the law, that is willful blindness or willful misconduct, because they have a duty to prevent harm.
Okay, I want to elaborate on, let's say, 3 things. One is on the shedding that we quickly touched upon. So the shedding is about the potential passivity in the vaccination that, for instance, little children may have when being in the contact or either their counterparts of the same age or that are vaccinated, or their parents or their grandparents. We know very little in the matter. We know for sure that it's not systematic, because if it were, then we would have all troubles. So this is the first positive thing. The second thing that seems to be taking place. So what we knew from the past is that vaccination from even the flu against the flu. There was this PNAS paper showing that in the exhaled breath, there was 6 times higher particles of the virus, the flu virus, than there would be in unvaccinated. So there seems to be a more intense thing. And so this is with the flu vaccine. What we know now from a recent New England Journal of Medicine correspondence is that people who have had COVID for 10 days when they are vaccinated are 5 times more contagious than the ones who are not vaccinated. So this is, we are talking of 10 days after COVID, so meaning normally you should get better, but then at this time, they are 5 times more contagious than the unvaccinated. So this shedding, we don't really know how it happens, but it may well happen because of all these observations that we have had with this inopinous bleeding of the little girls, with premenopause, with all these things. We don't really know what's going on. We understand that from the biology, we have exosomes, so those are little carriers, particulate that liposomes or let's say little lipid vehicles that we normally produce, and those are highly regulated, which is something that we know hardly we don't know much about these exosomes, but recently there was this paper with this video showing the flux on the exosome, and it is clear that it is regulated. And so now if those exosomes carry the spike protein, then you understand that you may have it in the natural fluids, whether the tears or the saliva or the sperm or the sweat. Now it will not be, we cannot understand and reconcile that it will be in great quantity, but whether the emitter meets with a receptor, a very sensitive receptor, such as maybe little children who are very sensitive to their environment. This is the issue. So basically what my reckon about it, my point is that it is not an issue that should be the our main trouble all the time, but like, oh my God, I don't want to see anyone vaccinated because this is going to be nightmare. 90% of the people in a number of countries are vaccinated, so please do not stop the interaction. But be aware that maybe sometimes you are a receptor, or maybe you're weakened because you are tired or whatever, and that in this time frame, maybe you should be cautious, or maybe your children, when they face intense emitters because they just got vaccinated, for instance, then they should be in care of being cautious. That's one thing. The second thing that I want to say is that
maybe Alexandra, if it's okay, Diana would like to come in, and I think she has to leave in a few minutes. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I don't want to be, but yes, I will have to leave you. I'm really sorry. I wanted first to thank you all for the time.
You're welcome.
Just to finish on liability, as Alexandra said, we don't know. When we don't know, we have to be cautious. And just last one example, because we have a thinking for them today, we have all these doctors in France, nurse, midwife, etc., who are forbidden to work because they are not vaccinated. And we had politicians asking brave friends for them to be
Hang on, Diane, can you repeat that? Because nobody on earth, I mean, it's not a worldwide, people don't know. In America, in England, they don't know. In Australia, please repeat.
It's been 2 years that French doctors, nurses, midwife, firemen, people who are working in a funeral office, people who are working social workers with the children. Last August, the president said that they were forbidden to work until they get vaccination. For the one who resisted, right now, this week, there was a big debate in the French Congress. and some brave parliamentary congressmen asked for them to be reinstated. But the Academy of Medicine said, we don't want to reestablish these people because it's not a question of science, because this is such a nonsense in France that now we have doctors, nurses who are vaccinated, but who are positive to COVID, who are allowed to work with patients. But the doctors who are not vaccinated and who are negative to COVID are forbidden to work. And when the politicians said this week, we want to reinstate these people, and the firemen, etc., we were all fighting for that. And the Academy of Medicine said, well, it's not a question of science. We know that this vaccine doesn't protect, but it's a question of moral and ethics. These people who didn't accept the job, they are immoral, they are unethic. We don't want them to be reinstated. This is such a nonsense. This is where science stopped to become a dogma. This is we need to help all these doctors, nurses, and midwives, firemen. Especially in France, we have big fire in the south of France, and can you imagine that these young healthy firemen, they cannot help because they don't want to get vaccinated. They have myocarditis, and we have all these people who are left, you know, with no money, with no alimony, with no nothing. And now we have scientists and Academy of Medicine, which is not medicine anymore, to say that these people are unethical and immoral. This vaccine doesn't work, doesn't help them. And I think it's urgent as to stop this vaccination, but to have these people reinstated. This is the last what I wanted to do, because this force is a breaking heart, and I hope we will win on this. So I'm sorry to have interrupted, and I'm sorry I have to leave a few minutes later, but thank you for your time. And
thank you.
And thank you to Julie, because she was one of the most brave women that we had in this initiative. And I said she went also on French TV, on national French TV. People seen her and her courage, and I hope all the women will follow her lead and the lead of Melody. Thank you to all of you.
Very much. Thank you very much. That's Diana Protet. And Julie, if you would like to come in, just if you want to say bye-bye to Diana and your final thoughts.
I just would like, because I believe we only have 4 minutes left, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
So I just would like to thank everybody and encourage all the women out there to believe, to listen to their instinct and to speak up. It's very important. We should all be united and we should all stick to our instinct. And we are all warriors, fighters. And if I can do it, any women can do it. And it's our duty for all the women out there. And above all, sorry, emotional again, I also do fight for all our kids. You know, I'm thinking about my daughter. She's 12 years old. She's about to have her periods. I'm really worried. I just want my freedom back. And I want all the women out there to have their freedom to choose whatever they want to do and to be aware about the side effects, to have more information. And I would like to thank Alexandra, Diane, Melody. I encourage everybody to go and have a look to the Instagram page. I remind you the name, at vaccine_menstrual. It's very shadow banned, so please don't hesitate to scroll down. You will find it, you can do it, and follow the account, see by yourself all the testimonies. And voilà, so thank you for all the very powerful women who are there and who are not scared to speak up. Voilà, thank you for welcoming us on your show, Dolores. Big up to you for everything that you're doing and to help us to raise our voices. Respect.
Thank you, Julie. So I just want to say, of course, on my own behalf and everybody listening, are very grateful to you. So that's Julie Desmoulier. And Julie, just what I was inviting during the break, I would like to have you back on, maybe with Melanie and with Aga Wilson, who is also leading the worldwide campaign, Can We Talk About It?, which is also to give voices and potentially to coordinate the research to try and eliminate or reduce the symptoms of adverse events. And Alexandra, we'll come to you now for your final thoughts. But thank you, Julie. I hope you'll come back again.
Thank you so much, Julie. My final thought is more about the fact that I want people to hope, to keep hope. We are fighting to find solutions. So for those who are victims, we are here out there to test some herb like moringa, like artemisia. A number of plants may be help. So we are doing the research and we need you to reflect and tell us whether you find a better thing. The other thing is that for those who haven't had any effect, the fact that what we just elaborated for this this show is not systematic. There is not such thing as to the fact that, oh, I got my jab, I will not have children. No, the bigger proof is that people who have had their jab got children since. So it is not something that people should understand, that not everyone is concerned. And even those who are concerned, we may find solutions, because I don't find any problems on earth that we cannot find a solution to.
Excellent. So thank you very much. My guests today were the fabulous Dr. Alexandra Herrien-Thaudet, and we had lawyer Diane Protat. And of course, we had courageous testimony from Julie Desmalley. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dolores Kyle Show on TNT.live.